While we get ready for the first ever episode of Satellite Stories, I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Jamie Harris, and I am the CEO of Satellite Gaming, where we point students to Jesus Christ by building relationships through video games. In this podcast, you're going to hear stories of impacted lives, stories of students and individuals who have radically encountered Jesus through video games and other avenues of nerd culture. You're going to get the opportunity today to meet my friend David. David was the first ever volunteer of Satellite Gaming. He's got a story of his own to share, but we're also going to share a little bit of the origin story of Satellite Gaming. We're excited you're here, and we can't wait to get into it. Hey, everybody. My name is Jamie, and I'm so excited to bring you the first episode of the Satellite Stories podcast. Hey, you'll get to know me, and you'll get to know what we're all about, but I want to introduce my dear friend, David. How you doing, brother?
Good. How about you?
Oh, dude, I'm good. This has been a long time coming. You know, you've heard me talk about podcasts over the years. We've never actually done one. We did like a trial at one point, but you know me, like sometimes I'll try really dorky things and sometimes I'll actually do the smart thing and wait a while until I've got a decent idea. And we've waited a while for this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we had a dollar for every time Jamie said, hey, we should start that podcast I've been talking about, then we could probably afford all of the gear to start a podcast.
Dude, yeah. So here we are doing that. Dude, I'm excited about it, man. You know, I think there are so many great podcasts out there. And I think it took us a while to figure out, like, what's a podcast we could make that, like, there's not already a better one out there talking about that.
Yeah.
Let's see if you could tell me, David, why did we decide to go this route? Satellite Stories. Let's give you a little test here, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think, we talk a lot about trying to only do what only we can do, right? That we're in video game ministry. That is a huge term that can mean a lot of different things. So we have to narrow down what we're talking about when we talk about video game ministry. So for us, looking at a podcast, what kind of podcast could we tell, right? I think we have accumulated a lot of stories. We have a ton of really cool stories of seeing video games get used for the glory of God, right? So yeah. For us now, when we talk to people who are confused or don't see how video games could be used in a positive way, to us that's crazy, because we have all of these stories that people just don't know, and people should know them because they're like, really
how do you
cool
actually
stories.
Share the gospel. I'm like, I could tell you one of 30 stories right now at this moment that I can think of.
Exactly.
What do you mean? It's already happening. Yeah. Oh,
because for us, it's not a hypothetical. It is a thing that we have a list of examples of, right?
Another thing I want to say is, it's not just Satellite Gaming. It's Satellite Gaming and beyond. Satellite Gaming, like, we haven't got into like what Satellite Gaming is, which those listening may know, they may not know. We'll dabble on that today. But the idea is, it's not just us. There are just good stories floating around everywhere. There are organizations. I mean, Love Thy Nerd. This podcast is going to be featured on LTN Radio. This is going to be its home is going to be LTN Radio. Super stoked about that. And Love Thy Nerd, they have stories weaved in. Hey, you know, episode 13 of this podcast has a great story. And then, you know, even in podcasts that aren't video game focused, you'll hear these stories of, like, you know, a mom or a dad or a pastor that played video games and had this radical encounter. And it's like, okay, but where are all those stories archived into one place? Like, I don't want to tell someone, like, yeah, you should go to the depths of this YouTube channel on this one video at this timestamp that had this thing. It's like, no, I want to be like, yo, you see that? That is a library full of radical stories that answer the question you're asking: can video games be used for the good of the gospel? And the answer is yes. And I'm excited to chat about that, bro. It's going to be a good time. So,
yeah, absolutely.
How we're going to get into it is, this is another test for David. Okay, so David, just so people know, you're on staff at Satellite Gaming. Yeah.
Like, yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, so I was the first volunteer for Satellite Gaming, and then I just sort of stuck around And Jamie, despite his best efforts, has not found a way to get rid of me. So
trying real hard.
Kidding. Today we're going to get to talk a little bit about the story of SG. And I was just sort of hanging around for a lot of that. And so what was the question?
You're making my point. So if I give you a hard time today, it's because I've been your friend. I would say that you have made the silly decision to call me your mentor at some seasons of life, and now I'm technically your boss. So when you say things like "What was the question?" I get to tease you a little bit, and so people listening know, hey, we're brothers. This has been a long time. This is not absolutely just me firing shots, and I would hope that at some point you take just a real good stab at me, you know, like just be looking for that opportunity today. So we are going to start, you know, you said, you know, you were the first, you know, real volunteer of Satellite Gaming, you know, let's go ahead and just go with that. What does that mean? What do you mean you were the first real volunteer? Is there a bunch of fake volunteers before that? What does that mean? Help me understand.
Before Satellite Gaming was gaming, before the gaming part of Satellite was a youth group led by a weirdo.
There's the stab. That was quick.
That's the stab. That is barely a poke.
I'm hurt. I'm soft, you know that.
Led by this weirdo named Jamie Harris, who what I love about Jamie, and I'm just gonna brag about him here for a second, that like I firmly believe that if the video game ministry thing didn't work out, if that just wasn't in the cards, that Jamie would be doing some other ministry following what the youth care about, right? If the kids in his youth group had cared about football, he would have been at every football game. If they had cared about crochet, he would have got himself some crochet needles, but they cared about video games, so he threw a tournament, and that tournament did really well. It was really big, and they had all the volunteers from the youth group, and it was still at capacity. They were really stretching themselves. So,
and I want to add something here. I want to add something here. This is a good interruption, I promise you. The reason it was called Satellite, this is still youth group days, okay? So we're talking like birth, conception of Satellite Gaming. Reason it was called Satellite was because our church, Lake Point, woohoo, thank you, Lake Point, for, you know, helping us get this started, being the origin of all of this, was originally a church plant, a separate like digital campus for the church New Hope, which is now my home church. So woohoo, go New Hope, right? So it was a satellite campus. So when I became the youth pastor, you know, it was like, what was it, like 2017 or something? No, it was like 9 years ago, bro. I'm old. It was like in the era of like naming your youth group something weird was like a cool thing, right? So we named it Satellite, and we also were a mobile church, so we had like satellite like discipleship groups that happened all around town, youth ministry like happened in my house, etc. Now fast forwarding back to where David is, let's zoom back in on that. First event is dope. It's just a satellite youth ministry event. We're at capacity. Jamie's going, wow, that worked. What do I do now, David?
Yeah, so he went to Corbin University, which is the school that I went to. And he went to this classroom full of, this is a classroom of ministry majors. And so at Corbin, that means it's almost entirely guys, right? I think there's like one girl in there. So he's in this room of 25 plus college age guys. And he starts with this little intro from the professor. And then he steps up and he starts with, does anybody in here play video games?
By the way, I'm feeling extremely confident right now. Okay, I'm feeling like,
why wouldn't you?
Like, I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. And it's like, it's a full college guys. Who doesn't play video games? He says, does anybody in here play video games? One hand in the entire room goes up. It was me. And I saw his expression go like, like try and keep composure as he was like, clearly, oh, like, man, that is not the response he was hoping for.
So, deflated balloon, like the epitome of a deflated balloon. I was like, why the am I here? This is stupid.
Yeah,
I was actually kind of mad.
Yeah, and to be clear, I know those guys. Some of them were kind of lying. Some of them I know have 100 hours on Skyrim, and they just don't consider themselves a gamer. But, so he kind of visibly deflates, and so Jamie pivots his conversation to be more about just the general concept of using passions, using interests and hobbies for ministry. And that hobbies are what he's chosen to use, but you can use anything for this sort of thing, right? That that is a broader philosophy that's bigger than video games, right? And he puts his number up on the board, and he's like, we have an event coming up. It would be great if any of you were able to volunteer. But, you know, you could see, like, this is clearly not how this guy wanted this to go. So after that class, on my way to my next class, I called Jamie and I said, I want to volunteer. And he said, well, what do you want to help with? I was like, Smash Bros is my game. That's like my main sort of thing. And he's like, we need somebody to run Smash Bros. So okay,
and let me say, I did not realize what that meant at the time. I was like, yes. Okay, so this is like dorky college guy. I'm a dork. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking like, this is my brother, right? So like, we're cool. Yeah. Like, you know, I could give him some Smash and he might do well. I didn't know what I was getting into when this guy said like, Smash is my game, right? Now, I want to be careful. I want to be careful here because, man, we're going to designate an episode later to just hearing David's satellite story. Yep. That's going to be beautiful. But this stuff has context to the whole satellite story as a whole. So be careful. You know, let's save some. Let's tease a little bit. But,
yeah,
but tell me what happened from there. You say Smash Bros is my game. So, mm-hmm. You know, beginning of a new era. What happens?
So I show up to the event, and this is like we're in an old Bible warehouse.
Oh.
The venue was an old Bible warehouse that we put up curtains and we hid. If anybody looked behind the curtain, they would just see rows and rows of like a half collapsed ceiling over a giant pile of Christian books and Bibles.
And like old Bible Man action figures and like VeggieTales and like some really old Bible video games. Like,
yep.
Like, and then of course all the new books that were coming out like that week. It was a legit warehouse, right?
I mean, yeah. It was, yeah.
Oh man.
But that venue. And we had two Smash Bros setups. And I was so proud of those little setups. I have a picture somewhere. I was looking for it earlier. I can't find it, but it's somewhere buried on my phone. Is a picture of these two TVs with Smash Bros all ready to go. I was so happy with that. And the event happened, and once again we filled it up. We filled we filled the venue. Just like last time, we were like, "Oh my gosh, what is actually the limit on this thing? Right? How big can this get?" So
I think it was like 125 people that showed up to that one, our youth group at the time was like, I think by this time it was like maybe 15 people, 20 people, something like that. But like 10 times the size for this event, which is crazy. Okay. So we have this event. I'm thinking, hey, this David guy's actually pretty legit. Now conversations of like, oh, also there were tons of parents there. So like, what do we do with the parents? What do we do? Like, what now? And this is where like, I have you on here today, David, for two reasons. One, because I just love you, bro. I love talking satellite game with you. I love that I spent a lot of my time in the online space talking with other people that create video game based ministries, talking with people from Love Thy Nerd. But most of my efforts are put locally. And like most of the people that I interact with online, I've never actually got to meet you. So like, I'm really stoked for this. For people to be like, oh wait, yeah, what? Is Jamie just making up all these satellite gaming people that are local? Like, no, like your story is like is part of the birth of satellite gaming. So I remember how I felt when We had 125 people. We had to find a way to serve the parents. We had to find the, but you, you know, not having context of the satellite youth ministry, barely knowing me, I guess I want to know, this is more part of your story, but from Satellite Gaming's perspective, what are you thinking about the trajectory of satellite gaming? Let's try to keep it on satellite gaming for a moment. Just like, what were you thinking this thing could be, was going to be? What did you want it to be? Like, share that from like your college student perspective, what was going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, my biggest feeling at the time was something that now I've heard from dozens of volunteers that have worked with us, right? Which the biggest thing was, man, I wish there had been something like this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right? How many people have interacted with satellite and have said that to you?
I think every adult that has come and seen at least an event in person, or has stepped through a club, teachers at public schools that walk through one of our clubs are like, bro, where was this when I was a kid?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. So, to have a space where kids could compete in a safe and healthy environment, that they could test their limits and their skills in an environment that really ultimately isn't about video games. That's what gets you in the door. But the bottom line is, that's not what it's about. And that's not why you stay. Right. We had almost all of those kids stuck around to watch the grand finals after they were all out. After there was no more video games to be played, they stuck around because it wasn't just about playing video games. It was
That was before we were giving out PS5s at the end of the event, right?
Exactly.
That was like, why stay? Like, because this is freaking sweet, man. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now we have, you know, you mentioned other volunteers that were there. You mentioned people, you mentioned young adults going, where was this when I was a kid? Now comes the era where we're like, how do we continue to do this? There was a point where this could no longer happen under the umbrella of the church, because the church was going like, this has outgrown the youth group. These events at some point got up to 250, which at the time was bigger than the church itself. They eventually got up to 500, which was definitely bigger than the church. And these were happening seasonally. I think like three times a school year, nothing like it wasn't like we were getting 500 people showing up every week. Right.
Right.
But at some point we had to make this decision. I want to say, from my perspective, the goal was not, let's make a nonprofit. It was like, I want to continue to advance this mission. Yeah. What is the best possible way to do that?
Yeah. See, and that's where, like, I remember after the first event and through these next few events, you and I would meet up and go to this coffee place, and we would just talk about
birdies,
this
baby.
Hypothetical possibilities of video game ministry. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, like, dude, there could be after school programs where you bring in video game gear and play video games at the after school program.
Dude,
we could do like online events. Yes, this is a long time ago. And we were like, we could do online events with people all over the world. We had these ideas, and I am very good at just talking hypothetical. Jamie is a person of action. Jamie took those hypotheticals, took those musings, and said, well, we're talking about how somebody should do that. I'm somebody. So Jamie did it.
We looked around too to see if others were doing it, right? Because I didn't want to do something that someone else, I'm like, bro, if there's somebody out there doing it better than me, like, let's just hop on and help them. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
I think now I have such a beautiful opportunity to be like, dude, I don't feel alone in this very often anymore. But like, I don't know. This is maybe getting a little more of the sentimental, the darker side of things. Like, do you remember times where I was just like, I did feel alone. Like I was furious, kind of like that it took so long for the world to get this going. And this was 8 years ago, and we're still not where I want to see it. Right. We're still not where I think the people of God can come around video game ministry in such a radical and beautiful way. And one of the biggest hurdles is why we made this podcast, is because people want to know, like, yeah, but does it actually result in gospel transformational experiences? And I'm like, Absolutely. We were seeing them happen before. I saw it in your life. I saw it in my life. I saw it in Nathan's and Jacob's and Omar's. I mean, you know, you just go down this list in Owen, like boom, 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 all these people. And I'm like, yes, this is working. Why are people not doing it? Why do I feel like every time I talk about it, people think I'm going crazy? So speak to like maybe some of the dark times where like this was before it was a nonprofit, before those hypotheticals became real, before it was our jobs. Like it got dark for a little while. What was that like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there was stuff like the most concrete example I can think of right now is the after school programs. Cause we had talked about this and we were like, this seems so relatively easy to do. All we got to do is bring in some gear and this could work. This could serve all of the things that are great about an after school program. Video games can totally be that.
And we were in the schools already. Like, they were our mission field, right? So this wasn't too foreign of an idea. This is like, we're already there. Let's do this, right?
Yeah. And we were like, these other after school programs get funded. This is such an easy fit, right? Because this is what kids are doing anyway after school. Let's just have them be shoulder to shoulder rather than doing it alone in their houses, right? And whenever you would tell people about that, they'd be like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then give you no support because nobody wanted to go out on a limb for this untested idea.
Yeah.
And again,
we haven't talked about this in a long time, bro. Like the dark, you know what I mean? Like it's not that we ignore it, but like there's just so much to celebrate that like, wow, man, I don't think of this often.
And now it feels really far away, right? Because now we're like, yeah, it's an after school program. You could do that half asleep. But at the time, getting somebody to go out on a limb and to fund this thing was next to impossible. And Jamie, being a man of action who is also a crazy person, said, okay, I'll do it without funding. So he took a bunch of screens that he owned and his personal consoles, and he did it. He ran the first after school program, all his own gear, all of his own stuff. And that's when people saw like, oh yeah, obviously like, this is actually an incredible idea. And we were able to actually get that funded and actually start to legitimize that and put some structures around that and multiply. And now we've got 11 programs, 12 programs, somewhere in there.
Now, right now, our weekly programs are at 14, and we're working on we have four in the hopper right now. That's what I was going to say is before it was like, hey, we just want to be present. We think this will work. And now we have up to 18 that we could have that people are like, they have money. They're ready to go. We need equipment. We need personnel. Yeah. And it's like, this is like the city reaching out to us. There's a story that we're going to share about a nearby city in a later episode that reached out to us. They have a gang problem and it's middle school kids getting a gang activity. And the city, not the church, the city called us and said, hey, we want your programs in our school. And we're like, we don't have capacity. Here's what it's going to cost to hire a person. And they're like, okay, let's do it. I was like, wow. Yeah. So now it's the opposite problem where like we can't respond to the asks and the demands.
All the demand.
It is beautiful. So now we're kind of getting into where SG is now. Okay. Now answer this question. You get in an elevator. Let's say you're wearing a Satellite Gaming logo. You're wearing a Satellite Gaming shirt. You don't know if it's a parent. You don't know if it's a teacher. You don't know if it's a Christian. You don't know if it's an atheist. Somebody just says like, yo, what's that logo? Elevator ride, 30 seconds. What are you saying? Where are we?
I work for a video game outreach nonprofit. So we do after school programs, we do big events, we do a bunch of stuff internationally, stuff like that. And then I kind of feel out how the what parts of that they
depending on the body language you get, if they're like, or
but typically people think that's pretty cool. So then I will get to tell them like, we're in a bunch of different schools in our area. We do, we've got a bunch of partners around the world. My job specifically is I do training and curriculum stuff. So like parent and family education, training youth workers to how to basically like not make the same mistakes that we made. Because that's the other thing is, like, we're telling this whole story. We're skipping over, like, every time that we blew the power at a venue. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, I remember those days. It's been years, but that was, like, a regular thing multiple times an event for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we had no idea because we just plug stuff in. There's an outlet right there. It should probably work. That's basically what I tell people. And then the thing that's really cool about getting to talk to people about my job is that now most of the people that I interact with have some sort of relationship in their life with video games, right? Either they play it, or they have a kid, or they have a cousin, or somebody in their life loves video games, right? So
very different than 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
COVID did us a lot of favors for that, but it's a different conversation now by far. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing is, back in the day, our conversations, a lot of the conversations we had were basically trying to convince people that video games aren't video games aren't inherently evil, that they could be used for something good. That was a regular conversation we had to have with people. We just don't have that many of those conversations anymore. You know what I mean?
I think that's a perfect spot to transition and say, again, and that's why we made this podcast. That's why we are doing this podcast. It is an archive of stories about God using video games to make a difference in the lives of people. And that is through Satellite Gaming and beyond. Not just our stories at Satellite. Yeah, it's called Satellite Stories, whatever, play on words, do whatever you want. But the idea is, this is now working. And instead of us going like, hey, I have this idea for this thing we should do. And there's still people in that. I mean, there's still people, shooting around ideas. And there's some ideas really coming to life. And what we're saying is like, yes, keep up the ideas. Keep up the brainstormings. Mm-hmm. Be an innovative people of God. Like, man, the Israelites were so innovative in how they built things and how they shared things and how they went to war. I mean, they were so strategic. Let's be strategic. Let's be tactful. But when we find something that's working, oh my goodness. Sharing stories is like sharing the spoils of war. I remember when one of our board members, this is actually a lot of what inspired this podcast. One of our board members went to our team because we were, we have this form that we fill out that every time we have a program or an event, we fill it out and we basically tell people like, hey, let's find one really cool story. And there, you know, in all we do, there's a lot of exciting things, but it can be hard to remember, oh, fill out that form. It's just like mundane, you know, but we weren't doing it. And one of our board members stepped in and he said, hey, I want to share something. He shared it with me first. And he said, can I share this with the staff? And I was like, dude, you have to. And he was basically saying that, man, imagine being the Israelites back in the day and being David, going to war, collecting the spoils of war, and not coming back home and sharing those spoils with the people of Israel. He's like, that's what you are doing when you don't package these stories and share them with those that give generously to your ministry, with those that need to hear, hey, we're winning the fight. We're winning the war. When you don't come back with the spoils and you don't share those spoils, people don't know we're winning. So this podcast is to say, bro, we're winning. Like, we're winning souls for Jesus Christ. Like, it is working. There is victory in this. And David, you and I both, we don't, because of our nature as human beings, and I think who God has called us to reach, because of the community in which we live, and because of our demographic being mostly public school kids, we're not ones to like throw the Christian hashtag on things very that's not our style, right? And we represent Jesus, but a lot of times, rather than host a Christian event, we'll be people of Jesus Christ that are hosting an event for the public, for the community, and through relationship after the event. But let it be known, this podcast, we're going to talk Jesus. We're going to talk the real stuff. And I'm super excited for that. I'm super excited to collect and to build this archive and to be able to point and to let other people point at like, hey, you want to hear stories of lives being transformed through video games and the gospel? Satellite stories. It's an archive. It's a library. It's not just Satellite Gaming talking about what we do and us thinking we're awesome. It's like, nope. Video games can be used for good. There's a library about it. David, I know we're going to hear your story in another episode. Is there anything else that you would want to communicate either about this podcast, about Satellite Gaming Stories specifically, this being, you know, that pilot episode, just giving people a little context for what Satellite Gaming is? Is there anything else that you think people need to hear as they kind of buckle up and get ready to hear more Satellite Stories?
Yeah, I think I'll share my prayer since joining paid staff. Has been that if I have to quit tomorrow, if something happens, if life happens, right? If I had to quit tomorrow, am I happy with the work that I did, right? Now, I never want to quit. This is my dream job. I love this, right? Yeah. But if God calls me to something else, I want to be able to be receptive to that, and I want to be confident in what I'm leaving behind. And to this point, if I had to quit today, I would be so incredibly proud of the work that we've gotten to do and the lives that we've gotten to touch, the ways that God has used us to impact students' lives, to impact people's lives, is staggering and humbling and a little terrifying.
Yeah, I feel that.
And I love it. So I guess with my parting thought is just that that God is doing incredible things, and if we don't sometimes take a moment to appreciate that and let ourselves be amazed and just be reminded of how many miracles God is doing around us all the time, you're going to miss out on some pretty incredible stuff. And to me, that's what's so exciting about this podcast, is we get to take a second and say, hey, look at all these miracles that are happening around us all the time. Bro. So, yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Jamie.
Oh, I love you, man. Thank you. I love you so much. I'm excited to hear other Satellite Stories that are happening around the world that we didn't know about, right? So if you're listening and you have a Satellite Story, that is a story where God used video games to make a difference in the lives of people, reach out to us. You got to let us know. We're going to find a way to clearly communicate how you can find us. Of course, you can you can check us out. LTN is going to have some information for you. We haven't figured all of it out yet, but I'm excited. This is the pilot episode. We may even cut this part out because Jamie's like, wait, you have no idea what you're saying. And you know what? You have just met Jamie. That's Jamie in a nutshell. So maybe we leave it here so y'all know. I'm a little scattered, but I'm surrounded by people like David, people like my wife, friends at LTN that they help me keep my head on straight. So I love all you guys. David, I love you so much, brother. It's such an honor to do this pilot episode with you. And I look forward to hearing more Satellite Stories. One more thing. Satellite Stories will be streaming on the Glue Network. That's GLU. Glue is a streaming platform available on Roku and smart TVs, as well as their iPhone and Android apps. Glue exists to unlock the inspirational value of faith-centric programming, partnering with Christian content creators like Love Thy Nerd and Satellite Stories. If you download the Glue, that's GLU network app today, and search for Love Thy Nerd, you'll find us there. Thanks for joining us as we grow the library of Satellite Stories. We'll see you next time, and don't forget, Jesus loves you, nerds.